Friday tonight. If you have your Bibles, 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16. And I want you to draw your attention to three main lessons we can learn tonight. But we're going to study a little bit about Mephibosheth. Now, we'll take just a minute. Mephibosheth. Does anybody know who Mephibosheth was? You could tell me without me. Okay, Carl, you can answer this question. I'll get somebody up. Maria, right here. Jonathan's son. Very good. Yes. So he was in the kingly line. He was dropped as a baby, and his nurse was running, dropped him, and he was lame on both legs. So he could not walk, and so he is known as a cripple in the scriptures. So he had to have someone take care of him. So now what I'm going to do is sort of give you a little bit of a update on how to get to chapter 16, and then we're going to go through the outline and refer back to the scriptures, and I want you to see a little bit about this. Now, earlier, David had wanted to be a blessing to Jonathan's kin, if there was anybody left that he could be a blessing to. So he had asked around, and they said, there's one son that's lame on both feet, but he's Jonathan's son. So David said, well, call him here. Now, when Mephibosheth came, he fell on his face because does anybody know what he thought was going to happen to him? He's going to be killed because he was in the kingly line, and most kings would kill all of the other kingly possibilities so that there was no competition. So Mephibosheth thought he was being brought into the king to have his head removed. And David looked at him and said, look, Jonathan was my best friend, and I want to treat you special because of your dad. I cannot imagine Mephibosheth just about to pass out. I can't believe this. He said, what I want you to do is, where are you living? He said, I'm living on this certain place. He said, do you have anybody help you? And he said, yes, a man named Ziba kind of helps take care of the place for me. And he said, call Ziba in. He called Ziba in. He said, look, he said, I want you to take care of Mephibosheth's place. He said, I want you to bring all the fruits to him and all the money to him, but he's going to eat at my table with me for the rest of his life. He is my guest because his father was my best friend. But you, Ziba, take care of his place. And you work it, you get your profit out of it, but then all the rest of it goes to him. You got that, Ziba? Yes, sir, I got it done. Well, then you know the story. Absalom takes over the kingdom, and Absalom has taken it over. David has left Jerusalem. He's running for his life. Now, you'll notice, if you would, in chapter 15, David has left Hushai, which was one of his great friends and counselors. He said, would you go back and defeat the counsel of Ahithophel? David had two counselors, Hushai and Ahithophel. Ahithophel was so wise that it was as though someone had inquired of what the Lord thought. It was just as though they inquired of the Lord. So Ahithophel was known all over as one of the wisest men in this day. But does anybody know why Ahithophel was bitter toward David? Why was he bitter toward David? Brother Zilbach? Because of his granddaughter. Who was his granddaughter? Bathsheba. So David had basically taken Bathsheba and killed her husband and taken her for his own, and Ahithophel was bitter toward him, angry, and he never got over it, and he wanted to pay him back. We're going to see a little bit about that tonight, but I just want you to get a little bit of the story. And so David is running for his life, and he's going up the hilltop, getting right about ready to get into the mountainous area of around Jerusalem. He's left Jerusalem, and his son Absalom has taken over Jerusalem with all of his soldiers, and David and his few mighty men are running for their lives. So notice, if you would, Roman numeral 1 in the outline, Mephibosheth was lied about to David. So notice, if you would, A, Ziba was the steward of Mephibosheth's house. You'll notice, if you would, in chapter 16, verse 1, and when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits. He had brought a great meal and some things for David to store and tide him over. And David's got about 1,000 people with him. They're all leaving, soldiers, everybody. So this young man, Ziba, brings him fruits and all kinds of things to eat. And David is really appreciative of what's happened. Well, notice, if you would, David asked a question of Ziba. Notice in verse 3. And the king said, "And where is thy master's son? Where is Mephibosheth?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father." That was all a lie. Mephibosheth was lied to by Ziba. Ziba said, "I'm going to go get you an animal. I'll go get you an ass or a donkey and saddle him and put you on him, and you can get out of the city with me and go to David." And he's eating at the king's table. He's a great friend of David. He's very beholding to David. And Ziba never comes back. He lies to Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth's crippled, so he can't get his own ride. And he doesn't know what to do. So he's stuck in Jerusalem. Ziba goes to David and says, "Oh, he's back. And he said he was waiting to get his kingdom back." Total lie. Destroyed his reputation to David. Notice what happens. Look, if you would, see. Then Ziba told David that Mephibosheth was waiting for the kingdom to be restored rightfully to him. It was a lie. We just read that. And notice, if you would, D, David believed it at the time and told Ziba he could have all of Mephibosheth's wealth and land. Later on, it was told to David that Mephibosheth was maligned. Now, notice, if you would, in verse 3, and the king said, "Where is thy master's son?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, Today shall the king, house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father." Then said the king to Ziba, "Behold, thine are all that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth. You can have everything that was his." He's angry at Mephibosheth for turning on him. And Ziba said, "I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king." What a traitor. "I humbly beseech thee," after he's just stolen everything from from Mephibosheth. So the lesson tonight is all of us are going to be done wrong from time to time. You're never going to get a chance to not be lied about. There will be a time when somebody says something untrue about you. The question is, what do you do about it? Now notice in the outline, E, sometimes we are lied about and we just have to let the Lord defend us. Doing right is what we must count on as our strongest defense. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 52. I want you to see this played out in real life. Psalm 52, notice, if you would, verse number 1. "Why boasteth thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually." Watch verse 2. "Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, in lying rather than to speak righteousness." Now this is, if you could do a little study on this, this is a psalm David wrote when Doeg had killed all the priests and reported to Saul evilly, and Saul was coming after him. So notice the next one. Verse 3, thou lovest evil more than good. Notice verse 4, thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. Notice, if you would, verse number 5, and God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away, and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living. So David said, I know what God's going to do to people that do what you say and what you're doing. So you and I don't have to defend ourselves necessarily. Oh, there may be an opportunity where you can explain to someone. And Mephibosheth got a chance to talk to David a little later on. And he had done some things to prove to David that it wasn't true. We'll get to that a little bit. But you'll notice that all of us are going to be mistreated from time to time by other people's tongues. Somebody's going to say something about you at work. Somebody's going to say something about you in your family. Someone's going to say something and it's going to hurt you. And David said, I know what that feels like. I'm going to trust the Lord to take care of it. I'm just going to keep doing what's right. So that's lesson number one. David doesn't go hunt down Ziba. Now, he only gets one side of the story. But you got to understand, David's running for his life. And here's somebody comes up to him, is very good to him. Evil people can many times do things so good, they just sweep us off our feet with their goodness, when in reality they have an ulterior motive. Ziba wanted all that Mephibosheth had. He was jealous of the fact that Mephibosheth was lame, yet because of his birth, he's got all this wealth. And he gets to eat at the king's table, so he concocted this lie to ruin Mephibosheth and get his land. And it worked for the time being. Now notice with me, if you would, Roman numeral 2. Second lesson we're going to learn tonight. Now all this is happening while David is running for his life. And I believe God is giving these stories to us, these events that happen, so each one of us can learn things in our daily life to say, Lord, help me to learn to handle things in such a way that I always honor you. Notice Psalm 52, verse number 6. The righteous all shall succeed in fear and shall laugh at him. We can have a little bit of humor knowing that that person is not going to get away with it. That person that's lying about us, that person that's talking about us. Notice, if you would, verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. He tried to take care of things in his own power, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. He says, notice if you would, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. You'll notice he puts his trust in the Lord. So we learn a lesson from David as to how to handle people that talk about us. Notice Roman numeral 2, Shimei is an example to us all about the sins of bitterness and anger. Now, A in the outline, Shimei was of the family of Saul. Now, you got to understand, David did everything in his power to be good to Saul and all of his family. And everybody knew it except Saul's family. They were bitter because anybody else was king but them. You see, if your family's a king, you get a lot of benefits. I mean, your life is easy the rest of your life. Well, when Saul died and Jonathan was killed and David as a general was raised to the kingship, everybody in Saul's family was bitter toward David. Even though David grieved over Saul's death, he grieved over Jonathan's death, he never attempted to pay Saul back for chasing him for 8 years. David was the example of how to deal with evil people that are just mean to you. How many of you have or have had somebody at work that just had your number? They just always wanted to make you look bad. Raise your hand. Let me see it. Let me see that. Raise your hand up. Okay, I see them all over. Okay? Do you understand? That's the human heart. And David said, look, the human heart can be what it's going to be, I'm going to let the Lord take care of me. I'm just going to do the right thing. So he never tried to attack Saul. On two different occasions, he had him right there to kill him. And he said, how can I touch the Lord's anointed? And he walked on. And God blessed him for it. Now, notice, if you would, A in the outline, Shimei was the family of Saul. We went over that because everybody in that family wanted to be a part of the king's family. So notice, if you would, B, he blamed David for taking over Saul's kingdom. He was mad at David because he was a king. Now, everybody knew that David was anointed by God. David didn't do anything to get it. It was just bestowed upon him. But they didn't care. They lost too much in it. So they were bitter toward David. So notice, if you would, C, he was bitter and mad about the loss of the kingdom for his family, and he waited until he felt David was too weak to do anything to show his bitterness. Now, I want you to read with me what he does in chapter 16. Look at verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. Now, he's a good ways off. It's a hilly country. So David goes up one hill, Shimei goes up another hill. There's a valley in between. So notice, if you would, 6, and he cast stones at David and all the servants of the king David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. So David is protected by all these people, but he's throwing rocks at them. It's too far for him to hit them. He's throwing dust in the air. He's cursing. He's acting like an idiot. I mean, he's nuts. He does not realize, because he's so mad. And anger is a drug. When we get angry and lose our temper, we can't think clearly. The Bible says in Proverbs, with an angry and furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways. So when we lose our temper, we can't think clearly. So here's Shimei on one mountain, sees David on the other mountain, and he gets rocks and throws them at David. He gets dirt and throws it in the air. He's cursing him, and he's saying, you, and he's just giving it to David. And he sees David's mighty men, soldiers, decked out for battle. And he's by himself. That's about as dumb as you can be. But he's lost his temper, so he's not thinking clearly. So notice what happens. Verse 7. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out. Come out, when thou bloody man, thou art a man of Belial. A man of Belial is a man of the devil. And the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul. David didn't slay one person in the house of Saul. He was completely innocent. But this man has lost his temper, and he blames David for every death of Saul and all of his family. Jonathan and his sons, he blames David. I can imagine David is saying, what in the world is he talking about? Notice, in whose stead thou hast reigned. There's the problem. A root of bitterness. You're the king and my family's not. And I don't like it. Now folks, bitterness can come from anything, true or not true. And we have to battle that. Everybody in this room, somebody's done something to everybody in this room, and there are things that stick in our heart, and you can't let it stick. The word forgiveness in the Greek language is the word aphemi. It literally is to send away. So every time something hurts you, you better send it away, or it'll stick in your heart, and you'll have some bitterness. Now, you're probably not going to, I would doubt anybody in this room is going to act like Shimei. I mean, curse somebody, throw dust in the air, throw rocks in the air, blame them for everything that you know is not true. but temper will cause you to say that. How many of you have ever, don't raise your hand, gotten upset and said something you regretted? That's what temper does to you. It shuts off your spiritual sense. That's why you have to be so careful to never let your temper get the best of you, ever. Learn to give your temper over to the Lord. Shimei did it. It'll destroy you. It'll cause you to have to go back and apologize. And notice, if you would, in verse number 8, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. Oh, now he's really pricking it hard. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. He's not a bloody man. He didn't kill one of Saul's family. Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Now, this young man, Abishai, is one of David's 30 mighty men. I mean, he's battled in battle and slain hundreds of men at a time with his sword. Shimei, he's unarmed because he's throwing rocks in the air with both hands, dirt and everything else. He's not thinking. Shimei said, let me just go over and just take off his head. He shouldn't be cursing you. David said, no, leave him alone. I mean, you know, it's just the Lord just working on my heart because I deserve things that, you know, I haven't done everything right. Just leave him alone. Well, notice if you would, in verse number 12, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Maybe the Lord will just treat me good because he's being so ridiculously bad to me. Now notice, if you would, in the outline, C1, bitterness prevented compassion and promoted anger. So Shimei couldn't think straight. When you're mad, you're not going to be compassionate. When you're angry, you're not going to be gracious. Notice, 2, he walked on the other side from David and he cursed David, threw rocks at him, and threw dust into the air to vent his anger at David. He's just trying to show David how mad he is. But he's not hurting David. He can't throw rocks all the way across the valley. He's just making foolish of himself. Well, notice 3. David's men wanted to go over and shut his mouth by killing him. And David said not to, but leave him alone. So he doesn't know how close he came to dying that day. And David protected him. Notice 4. David wanted the Lord to see the mistreatment and to avenge him himself. Lord, you take care of me. Now, folks, when somebody is like this to us, again, Lord, I turn this over to you. If you have your Bible, turn to Romans, if you would. Romans. I want you to see this verse. Romans chapter number 13. Excuse me, chapter 12, I'm sorry. Look at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Pay nobody back for their evil. Notice verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, if someone comes to hurt your family, it's not possible to live peaceable with all men. I mean, if someone breaks into your home, you better defend your family if you're worth a nickel. I mean, it's them or you. Susan was in that wheelchair, and I had weapons placed strategically in the house where if anybody broke in, they weren't walking out because I wasn't for sure I could protect her unless I got them first, because she couldn't. And so I felt a grave responsibility to watch out for her safety. And she couldn't run anymore, couldn't get away. And she was, that was something that scared her. I said, honey, don't worry about it. I'll take care of that as much as is possible. Now, notice this. I want you to see verse 10, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't pay somebody back when they curse you and throw rocks at you and do all kinds of stuff. not hurting you, but rather give place unto wrath. Now, there's the point. Give a place for your anger to go to send it away. Don't allow yourself to get angry. Give place for your anger. Now, folks, if you learn to do that, it'll save you a lot of eating your own words and a lot of shame between you and the Lord. And notice the next phrase, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, many people have read verse 20, the last part, in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head, and said, well, that doesn't sound like a very nice thing. But you have to understand, in this day, the number one thing in a home was to keep a fire going. It was heat. It was food. You couldn't cook without fire. And it wasn't like you could just run down and buy matches at the 7-Eleven. So you kept a fire going. And if a fire got down low, you would go to your neighbor and you would say, can I borrow a couple of lumps of coal? If your fire went down to the point where it went out, maybe during the night, you didn't watch it, didn't have enough wood on the fire, it went out. So you'd go to your neighbor next door and they would give you a couple of lumps of coal. You'd take it in, put it back in your fire, blow on it and get it to come and light back up. The difference is women carried this lumps of fire in trays on their head. So the idea was, now if you read it again, heap coals of fire. Well, if it's your enemy, you give them how many coals? One little one. There. Try that. Well, they'd have to work like a dog to get that one little coal to grow up and to ignite the fire and to be able to cook with it and get heat by it. So he said, look, if your enemy comes next door and says, my fire's out, could you help me? He said, and she's got this little tray on her head. They use a little round donut that is made out of cloth. That's an insulator. They put it on their head. And I'm telling you, they can carry everything from pots that big on their head. It's amazing. People from other countries that live here, you've seen that. It is absolutely amazing. By the way, just a side note, when we went to Africa, Uganda specifically, to help with a medical team, the number one complaint was neck pain. We would give them 7 ibuprofen pills, and they thought the doctor was wonderful because they had 7 days of relief. Why? Carrying things on their head. Because they would usually have a little one in their arms and foodstuffs they're carrying. So they'd put their water on their head. They'd put their lumps of coal on their head. And they would walk. Now, between you and me, we would burn us up and everything we're carrying if we had a lump of coal on our head. But they didn't. So it's the idea, your enemy comes to you and says, hey, my fire's out. You heap coals of fire. You give them more than they could ever want to make sure their fire starts. You be good to them. That's what he means by heaping coals of fire on your enemy. It's not throwing red coals on your enemy's head. That's not what it means. It was a good thing to help them to get the heat for their home and the food for their to cook with. Now, notice with me if you would, you could see that he said, avenge not yourselves. So notice in the outline, number 4, C4, David wanted the Lord to see the mistreatment and to avenge him. That's all you and I have to do is tell the Lord. Lord, you see what Shimei's doing. Lord, would you take care of that? Would you protect me and would you take care of him? I'll leave him in your hands. That's the way God wants us to do it. And if Shimei would have come over and said, David, I probably shouldn't have said all that. By the way, when David came back into the city, he did come back and ask for forgiveness. He said, I don't deserve to live. Abishai called him a dead dog. You know why? Because he's dead. When I get there, he's a dead man. And David said, leave him alone. So notice, Point number one from this little story so far is never lie to get, like Ziba did. Don't you lie and you forgive people and they mistreat you. Two, whenever someone is angry at you, you learn how to handle it. Don't get angry back. You be good back. Never let your temper get the best of you. Lesson number two. No, notice lesson number three. Absalom came to Jerusalem and began to reign. So notice verse 15. And Absalom and all the people of the men of Israel came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with him. Now, remember Ahithophel, we've talked about him. He's Bathsheba's grandfather. So you'll notice, it came to pass when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come to Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king, God save the king, speaking to Absalom. Now, Absalom thinks this is strange because you were David's friend. And Absalom said to Hushai, verse 17, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend David? And if you remember, if you read the story previously, he did go with David, and David said, look, you can't help me, but you've got to go back and defeat the counsel of Ahithophel, because whatever Ahithophel tells Absalom is right, and he'll get the kingdom and keep it. I need you to help me. So Hushai goes back. He is a spy now. He's trying to bring the kingdom back to David. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18, and Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be. With him will I abide. Boy, he's smart. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve the presence of his son? He said, should I not serve the presence of King David? If that's who God's chosen, as I have served in thy father's presence, so will I be in thy presence. Now, this is wartime. He's trying to get the kingdom back for the rightful heir whom God has appointed. So you can see what's going on here. Now notice, if you were in the outline, A, Absalom asked advice of Ahithophel. So keep in mind, Hushai is there, Absalom, and Ahithophel is there. All the people are in Jerusalem, and Absalom says, okay, what should I do? What should be my next step? He asked it of both men. We're going to look at that in just a second. Notice, if you would. B, Ahithophel said for Absalom to strengthen his hands, so all knew that there was no turning back to David. He said, look, I want you to take David. David's left 10 of his wives, concubines, in the palace. You go get them, set up a tent, and you have them as your wife. And everybody knows David would never accept you back. In other words, it destroys everything between you and your father. And your people know there'll be no mending between you and your dad. So he does that. So you'll notice, if you would, verse 22. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. So terrible scene. Then he asked him, and the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So now Absalom has made himself totally a stench in David's nostrils by taking his wives, and everybody knows it. So now on to the next step. This is what Ahithophel told him. Next step, verse number 1 of chapter 17. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men. And I want you to notice now, you can see the bitterness. Notice the next two verses, how many I's are in it. And I will arise and pursue after David this night. Verse 2, and I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite the king only. He himself wanted to kill the king for what he did to Bathsheba. And notice next, verse 3, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. Four different times he says, I will do this, I will do that. He is bitter and angry, and this is his chance to pay back David. Now, I want you to notice in the outline, see, B, Ahithophel said for David to strengthen his hand, so he gives him that advice about the women. And then B, C, Ahithophel was the wisest man alive at the time. So Absalom knows everything he's saying to him is exactly what would win the kingdom. So notice D. Ahithophel also said to choose 12,000 men to go after David to kill him that very night. Now listen to his advice. David was weary and his men were scattered. Ahithophel was right. If Absalom would have followed Ahithophel's advice, he would have beaten David and kept the kingdom. Ahithophel wanted to kill David himself because of his own bitterness. So we just read it four times. He uses the word I will go kill David. 12,000 men, but nobody's going to touch David but me. I'm going to kill him. Do you see what bitterness does? What bitterness did to Shimei? Now, understand this. Ahithophel is shrewd. By that I mean this. He doesn't let his anger get the best of him. He deceitfully plots. And folks, these are the kind of people that are the worst kind of people. You have to be careful of those kind of people at work. Be careful of those kind of people around you. Because they plot deceitfully. Only God can protect you from those kind of people. You can't think evilly enough or quickly enough to defend yourself from those kind of people. David knew that. So he sent Hushai back. He knew that Absalom would follow his own guide. Ask the wise men what they should do and then make your decision. The Bible says in Proverbs, there's safety in the multitude of counselors. David was following that passage. Now, he asked Ahithophel, what should I do? Ahithophel tells him, and it is right. If Absalom would have let Ahithophel go that night with 12,000 men that had killed David and united the kingdom underneath Absalom, over. But that wasn't what God wanted. And so David trusted the Lord. There was nothing David could do but trust the Lord. But he made one wise decision. He sent Hushai back. Now notice if you would, in E in the outline, God protected David and the people believed Hushai's advice was better. He said to unite the kingdom and then everyone go after David, not just 12,000 men. Now read this in verse 6. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken good. Ahithophel hath spoken is not good at this time. So Absalom looked at Hushai and says, okay, Ahithophel's giving us advice. What do you say? He said, man, Ahithophel's advice is very good, but it's not best for right now. And listen to what he says. Hushai said unto Absalom, it's not good, verse 7, verse 8. For, said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men. And everybody knew that. And they be chafed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. If you've ever seen a bear with her cubs taken, they're vicious. They're murderous. Notice if you would, and thy father is a man of war and will not lodge with the people. You won't be able to find him. Behold, he is now hid in some pit or in some other place. And it will come to pass when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. He also that is a valiant and whose heart is the heart of a lion shall utterly melt. And for all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. And you know what? All of a sudden it's beginning to make sense. Wow. We might not get David. He might slip away. I could lose a lot of men, because that's right. One of David's mighty men killed 1,000 men. They all knew that. David had 30 men that were like the Navy SEALs. No one could beat them. And David's got 1,000 with him. So Hushai, now keep in mind, 12,000 surrounding them, and everybody was running for their lives. They didn't know. Hushai knew the condition David was in. He was hungry. He was running for his life. His men, some of his men were right around him, but not enough to defeat 12,000. So Hushai gives this advice, and notice what happens. He appeals to the flesh of Absalom. Watch this. Verse 11. Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee from Dan unto Beersheba. That's from one end of the country to the other. You might as well say from the Pacific to the Atlantic. And there, and notice if you would, so shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth upon the ground, and of him and of all the men that are with him there shall not be left so much as one. So you can get rid of all of the traitors that would turn on you, as well as David. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, that shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found. Boy, he's going with hyperbole now. We'll take the cities and just lower them to the ground. And notice, and Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel. Now I want you to notice lesson number 3. F in the outline. God will always protect the righteous. We must just do right, and God will bless us. Turn your Bible to Psalm 71, and we'll close. Psalm 71, and notice verse 5. Psalm 71, we'll begin in verse 1. In thee, O Lord, this has to be our attitude when we're in trouble. Now, folks, this would be the attitude whenever you're at the hospital and you hear bad information, information that's fearful to you. When you're at work and you get bad news, or laying off, or so-and-so said you did such-and-such, what happened? In thee, O Lord, verse 1, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Lord, always help me keep my wits about me. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Put your trust in the Lord. If you find out bad financial news, put your trust in the Lord. If you find out bad health information about something, about your health, put your trust in the Lord. Let him be your strong habitation. This lesson here is a story about thinking wisely. David sent Hushai back, but he trusted the Lord to take care of him. He said, all I can do is send Hushai back. Lord, it's in your hands. And that's, David writes this psalm. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Don't calculate, plan to pay back, plan to get back at someone. Learn to trust the Lord in every difficult situation, because the Lord loves you tonight and he will watch out for you. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. When you're physically beaten, as David was, Lord, could I lay me down tonight and just trust you to take care of me? Learn to make the Lord your trust. Tonight, if you do that, God will bless you. Three lessons tonight in this message, these stories. Number one, never lie to get ahead. And never worry when somebody lies about you to get ahead, as long as you put your trust in the Lord. Number two, never have feelings of payback. Somebody does something to you, never pay them back. Put your trust in the Lord. And the third point, always know doing right, God blesses, and he'll take care of you. So put your trust in the Lord. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe you're here tonight and you're going through some difficulties. Could I encourage you to put your trust in the Lord tonight? Maybe you're carrying a weight. David was carrying the world on his shoulders. His own son had run him out of the kingdom. He loved his son. He would have given up the kingdom for his son, but he couldn't do that because his son was going to kill everybody. So put your trust in the Lord. We're going to have a word of prayer when we do. If you need to come tonight, could I encourage you, if you're with someone, take the prayer list tonight. Pray loud enough for your partner to hear, but quiet enough not to disturb those around you. But if you need to come tonight to this altar and talk with the Lord, or if you just want to sit where you are and say, Lord, I want to put my trust in you. I've got this financial situation. I've got this health situation. I've got this person, this enemy that's mean to me. Whatever the need, you have a fear in your life, put your trust in the Lord. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts tonight. Give us your calm. Let us find our habitation in you. Be our rock and our strength. In your name we pray. Amen.